Time for another Grace to You audio blog. Check out what John MacArthur has to say, then keep listening for details on how to get into the online discussion.
Go back to Genesis 1:1. This simple statement, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Folks, you either believe that or you don't. If you don't believe this, then you have a lot of other things in the Bible not to believe. You know, it really wearies me to hear the critics assault the Bible. I read an absolutely ridiculous article in U.S. News and World Report about the Apostle Paul, which totally misrepresented the Word of God, misrepresented him, and were the foolish musings of Christ-denying and godless men. And they do the same thing to the book of Genesis. And they all pass themselves off as religious scholars. It is widely held that the Genesis creation account needs to be taken not as literal history, but that it is some kind of Hebrew poetry that is allegorical. Well, if that's true, then you're going to have to allegorize all those other passages too. But this is the scholarly approach. Well, we don't take this as actual history here that God actually created in 6 days. This is Hebrew poetry. Douglas Kelly, who has written absolutely outstanding book called Creation or Change, says, many biblical interpreters have attempted to avoid the obvious conflict between a straightforward reading of the text of Genesis and opposing naturalist theories of origins. They have done so by suggesting that Genesis chapters 1 through 11, and especially the first three chapters, are poetic writings rather than chronological history. This position is surprisingly common among people who generally hold to a high view of scriptural authority. That's pretty amazing. The great scholar of Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia, I cut my teeth on many of his writings as a student, Edward J. Young, an authority of, frankly, massive erudition in Hebrew and cognate languages, responds to these claims that Genesis 1 to 3 is poetry rather than serious history. Edward Young addressed the question in his writing, is Genesis poetry or myth? And this is what he said. To escape from the plain factual statements of Genesis, some evangelicals are saying that the early chapters of Genesis are poetry or myth, by which they mean that they are not to be taken as straightforward accounts, and that the acceptance of such a view removes the difficulties. To adopt such a view, they say, removes all troubles with modern science. Then Young says, Genesis is not poetry. There are more poetical accounts of creation in the Bible, such as Psalm 104, certain chapters of Job, and they differ completely from the first chapter of Genesis. Hebrew poetry has certain characteristics, and they are not found in the first chapter of Genesis. So the claim that Genesis 1 is poetry is no solution at all. The man who says, I believe that Genesis purports to be a historical account, but I do not believe that account, is a far better interpreter of the Bible than the man who says, I believe Genesis is profoundly true, but it is poetry, end quote. So don't give us any of that nonsense about poetry. Just say you don't believe it. That's a better approach. Genesis 1 is not written according to the laws of Hebrew poetry. You can find lots of passages in the Old Testament that are. This isn't. There are no usages of the typical traditional types of parallelism that occur in Hebrew poetry. And Douglas Kelly says, no amount of exegetical straining can find the slightest poetic view of Genesis 1 to 11 in the books of the New Testament. If it was poetry, we would expect the New Testament writers to assume that it was poetry and to treat it as poetry. But when you read the New Testament writers commenting on Genesis, it is obvious that they take it as history. Henry Morris summarizes the New Testament usage of the Old in this way. He says, the New Testament is, if anything, even more dependent on Genesis than the Old. There are at least 165 passages in Genesis that are either directly quoted or clearly referred to in the New Testament. Many of them are alluded to more than once, so that there are at least 200 quotations or references to Genesis in the New Testament. It is significant that the portion of Genesis, which has been the object of the greatest attacks of skepticism and unbelief, the first 11 chapters, is the portion which had the greatest influence on the New Testament. There exist over 100 quotations or direct references to Genesis 1 through 11 in the New Testament. Furthermore, every one of those 11 chapters is alluded to somewhere in the New Testament, and every one of the New Testament authors refers somewhere in his writings to Genesis 1 to 11, every New Testament author. On at least 6 different occasions, Jesus Christ himself quoted from or referred to something or someone in one of those 11 chapters, 6 different times, including specific references to each of the first 7 chapters. Furthermore, in not one of these many instances where the Old or New Testament refers to Genesis, is there the slightest evidence that the writers regarded the events or personages as myths or allegories. To the contrary, they all viewed Genesis as absolutely historical, true, and authoritative, end quote. Thank you, Henry. That's good stuff. Walter Brown lists some 71 New Testament references to the early chapters of Genesis, and concludes, here's his conclusion. Every New Testament writer refers to the early chapters of Genesis. Everyone. Jesus Christ referred to each of the first 7 chapters of Genesis. All New Testament books, except Galatians, Philippians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, 2nd and 3rd John refer to Genesis 1 to 11. Every chapter of Genesis 1 to 11 except chapter 8 is referred to specifically somewhere in the New Testament. Every New Testament writer apparently accepted those early chapters as historically accurate. Now, if you go back to the book of Genesis for a moment, the outline of Genesis further supports the historicity of the first chapters. Chapters 1 to 11, primitive history. Chapters 12 to 50, patriarchal history. That's where Abraham, Isaac, and all the way through to Joseph, Jacob and Joseph. You have primitive history, creation, fall, flood, dispersion. You have patriarchal history, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. It's very well divided. Nobody will argue that 12 to 50 is history. Why do they argue that 1 to 11 is history? They really don't want to argue that the flood was not history because there are so many evidences of it. They don't necessarily want to argue that the dispersion, Tower of Babel and the nations and the language, is not history. There has to be some explanation for the diversity of languages and nations. But what they really want to argue with has to do with the first 3 chapters of Genesis, and what they are most concerned to argue with is creation. They think that science has made its point and debunk the Bible. But Genesis is history. Primitive history, 1 to 11. Patriarchal history, 12 to 50. In fact, I give you a little fast lesson in Genesis. Look at chapter 5. The word generation is genealogy. History. History. Chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. Chapter 6, verse 9. These are the records of the genealogy of Noah. Chapter 10, verse 1, these are the records of the genealogy of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Chapter 11, verse 10, these are the records of the generations of Shem. Verse 27, these are the records of the generations of Terah. Chapter 25 and verse 12, yes, these are the records of the generations of Ishmael. Verse 19, these are the records of the generations of Isaac. And so it goes. Chapter 36, these are the records of the generation or genealogies of Esau. Verse 9, these are the records of the generations of Esau, again indicated. Chapter 37, verse 2, these are the records of the generations of Jacob. You can just divide this entire book into historical records. It's what it is. If you go backwards, you go from the history of Joseph to Jacob, to Esau, to Isaac, to Ishmael, to Abraham, to Terah, to Shem, Ham, Japheth, Noah, Adam, God. That's how it goes. It's history. It's ludicrous when there are so many clear-cut statements that this is history, to make the history part that has to do with God myth.
Thanks for listening. Now go to gty.org/audioblog and get involved in the conversation. That's gty.org/audioblog.